You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. We'll let the orchestra go down. I really do apologize for this voice. I'm not eating ice cream. And so I love ice cream. I love ice cream. I've had no ice cream. I've had no cheese. I've had no dairy. But it just happened about 40 minutes ago, and I'll get it. Maybe if I don't, we'll stop. Tonight I'm very burdened about our message. We're speaking about the marks of a mighty church. I pointed out to you from 1 Timothy, we've been in 1 Timothy, that a mighty church has sound doctrine. Just sound doctrine. We went through all those sound doctrine in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. We must be sound in the faith, the historic doctrines, Jude verse 3, that have been passed down to you and to me, the doctrine of the inspiration of the Word of God. It's inspired by God. It's God's Word. It's preserved for us in this King James Bible. We talked about the doctrine of the virgin birth. Jesus had to be born of a virgin. The doctrine of eschatology, the next event to take place. When God says in Revelation 4:1, come up hither. There's the rapture of the church. We're not going to go through the tribulation, child of God. God will escape us out of the tribulation. Oh, there'll be many saved in the tribulation. I quoted in Sunday school or somewhere this week, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and people stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms of the hand, cried out, whose are these? And whence came they? These are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. People will get saved in the tribulation, but they'll be martyred for Christ. What a great day when we get a reunion day to see them in heaven, the historic doctrines of the faith. Then 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the importance of prayer. My house shall be called a house of prayer. Our church must be a prayer warrior church. I was looking amongst, as I was standing here, I was looking amongst all the people, the prayer requests of your lives that I know of. Now, I don't know them all, but the prayer requests that I know, and they're so numerous. It's too much for one man to carry. Your prayer requests, and I try to carry them. We need to be a praying church. Thank God for the prayer meetings that we have here. But tonight, I come to you with a sober heart. I keep weeping tonight. I don't know why I'm weeping so much. Perhaps it's the message. I'm so proud tonight of the women of our church. A mark of a mighty church is godly women. And we have godly women in this church. I'm so indebted to you. There's Dorcases in this church. There's Tabithas in this church. There's Lydia in our church, the first convert in Europe. There's Mary and Martha and Joanna and Priscilla. There's Rebecca and Rachel and Sarah. There's Keturah and Abigail in our church tonight. I look at our church, we have Deborah's here. We have Esther's here. We have Ruth's here. We have Mary Magdalene. We have Zipporah and Jochebed, and we have Bathsheba, who, by the way, though conceived a child, it was out of wedlock with David. She became an amazing mother, raised Solomon for God. Wisest man to walk this planet Earth next to Jesus. We have Susanna and Phoebe and so many other women. I'd like the women to read the scripture tonight. I'd like all you virtuous women, and you are virtuous, quality. This church would not be, we would not have last week this conference without you ladies. You don't thank God for men, but I thank God for the women of our church. Ladies, I ask you to get your Bibles and stand with me, please. As you stand together, I'd like all the ladies only, just the ladies, to read us the scripture tonight. In chapter 2, verse number 5 through 15. And I want you to hear these ladies read the word of God. Ladies, chapter 2, verse 5 through 15. Ready? Begin. For there is one God. Thank you so much, you virtuous woman. God bless you. Be seated, please. Our Father, tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move over this auditorium and those that are watching tonight worldwide. I thank you for women in the church. Lord, our church would be obsolete without women. Women are so very important. I pray that, God, we would exalt and lift up women tonight. I pray that every man would leave here helping his wife or helping his mother or helping some lady achieve what she is supposed to achieve with her life. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. God, no ruby could contain the and compare to the women of the Bible, godly women. Thank you for the godly women in this church. God, open our eyes to the women tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I call your attention to verse number 9. In the like manner, what does it mean in the like manner? Well, he's talking about the men that were lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He was talking about prayer and that men of God would pray. But in the like manner, as you've seen, men praying in the like manner, ladies, women, adorn. The word adorn is a very popular, it means to fashion yourself or to mold yourself or to arrange yourself or prepare yourself that a woman would ordain or adorn herself. Now, ladies, that's why Saturday night is so important. I learned this from my wife. I learned when we got married that on Saturday night, 52 years ago, she'd set all of her clothes out for Sunday morning. She's done it all 52 years of our marriage. Well, consequently, I started setting my clothes out. I made sure my shoes were shined, my socks were out, now all my my tie, my suit, everything was all ready Saturday night. Then we had children, and Tiffany came along, and Tabitha came along, and Tim came along, and she wanted those girls to learn how to arrange themselves. So she brought every Saturday night two dresses. She was forcing them to make a decision. She said, girls, we have these two dresses tonight, today, Tiffany. What one of these do you want to wear? She had her make the decision what dress she would wear. Back in those days, I don't know if they still do it, but they had little socks with little frills on them. And she chose the socks or the tights or whatever you call it. She chose the bows for the hair. Girls, which one do you want? What color do you want? And then she did that to Tabitha. And she did that for Tim. Here's your suit that you'll wear tomorrow as your little kids. That's what the word adorn means. It's to arrange. And certainly our children need to be arranged in life. And women, thank God that all you do to arrange yourself, but you arrange this church. I never made those flowers down there, but Mrs. Martinez did. And I didn't make all these decorations. She and the ladies in Joy, Reamers and others, they made that. I didn't do all the flags last week, but the ladies, they do that. And the Bible says that you adorn yourself in modest. What's the word modest mean? It means appropriate. Ladies, you're to be appropriate. It means to have good, orderly behavior, that you adorn yourself with modest apparel. That's why I don't believe men ought to wear dresses. I don't believe men ought to wear high-heeled shoes. I don't believe men ought to wear earrings or have makeup on or eyeshadow or lipstick. Men ought to look different than ladies. And ladies ought to look different than men. And the Bible says, in modest apparel, our apparel needs to be modest with shamefacedness. Shamefacedness is a word we don't use today. But shamefacedness is the word just simply, it's honorable, it's respectful, it's a sense of honor. And your arrangement of your clothing needs to be in modest. It needs to be with shamefacedness, and it needs to be in, look what he says, sobriety. That does not deal with alcohol. That deals with self-control or a soundness to it. And then he says this, not broided hair. Now that's not a word, I think it's used twice in the Bible. That's not a word we use today. But the word broided, you've got to remember that Paul was writing to this church at Ephesus especially was a very wealthy city. And they had jewels galore. And the ladies, as they gave themselves in Ephesus and they gave themselves in these cities to the trend of the day, they had ornaments all over. You'd go down the streets and the little shops of Ephesus and Colossae and you'd find these little shops and they had gods and goddesses and the god of Diane, but then they'd have shops for all the ornaments for the ladies. The ornaments would be taken by the women of Ephesus and they would put them, they'd go to a hairdresser and they'd go and she'd put all those ornaments in her hair and twine them in there and bring attention to herself. God's word says, don't do that. Now, I don't know how far you take this, ladies. What do you call it, a scrunch? Is that what you call that thing, a scrunch? Is that what that thing is called? I don't believe it's dealing with, you can't have a scrunch. I don't believe it's dealing with, you can't have a, it's got, I know what it's called, but what's it called? It's got those little forks that drive into the hair. What's that called? A brett?
Yeah.
How'd you know that, Jason? A brett? Is that what it is? I don't think there's anything wrong. I don't think I see Happy here. You've got something in your hair tonight. I don't know what that is, but it looks beautiful. I don't want to say you can't have something, but God's word says don't be like the women of the day. that make their hair all their jewels. And if I can't do it, you're not supposed to do it. And I can't put a Brett in my hair, I'll guarantee you that. Or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Look at verse 10. Would you read verse 10? Ready, begin. But that which becometh women, God says, but I want you to know something. But here's what I want. I want you to be ladies that are orderly. I want you to have apparel that's shamefaced. I want you to have your hair done right. I want you to care for yourself. It would be just as wrong not to have gold or pearls or costly or rare as it would not to have clothes on. And that's what he's dealing with. You can have gold and silver and you can have these ornaments. Just don't make them your God. I studied I studied this year rubies for elementary chapel. I'm going through the rocks. We have 17 or 18 or 19 done so far. And they all have fishing tackle boxes. And I'm giving them a rock every week. I'm going to show you in another week that we have the foundation. We made the foundation of the walls of heaven, the 12 rocks, and we have them here. I'll bring it to show it to you. But you know, I studied rubies. Elizabeth Taylor was a famous movie star. She's long passed away. I think she was born in 23, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. But Elizabeth Taylor, she went through 8 husbands. One guy twice. That's a lot of husbands. She must have had some problems. But Elizabeth Taylor had all these jewels. She married Joe DiMaggio. She had all these jewels from Joe DiMaggio. She had all these jewels from all these rich, wealthy people that she married. One man bought her a necklace of rubies and diamonds, and it was sold at the auction for $6.8 million. Another one sold a bracelet of rubies and diamonds for, I think, $6 or $8 million. You know, everything you and I have in life is going to be gone one day. I look at just my mother and dad. My mom, this past week, she's been gone 10 years. This week, my dad's going to be gone 8 years. And in that time, I recall as they were getting older in life and we were going to move them out of their 4-bedroom house, beautiful house, 2 fireplaces, all that they had. It was a beautiful house in South San Jose. And we sold everything. And I moved them up here to Lick Mill. There's little apartments. And they lived there. And then they moved by my sister. She's with the Lord. They're with the Lord. And we had to get rid of more of their stuff. And then they went to a 2-room senior citizen center because they needed care. And then they eventually went to 1-room. You know, they don't have anything left. The day my mother died, my dad died 2 years later in the same exact spot, the same bed. All he had was a chair, and it wasn't his. He didn't own anything. You know that as you get older in life, you're not going to take this with you, ladies and gentlemen. You've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. Lay up for yourselves. Brother Reamer, as you said it so well, the best investment you can make is the Lord's work. That's the only investment that's going to last for eternity. Lay not up for yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasure in heaven. So the Bible says, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Then he says, let the woman learn subjection. Subjection's a military word. It means to rank under. My wife said in our class probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, she said, when I got married, she said, I was very opinionated, very strong-willed, and she's still strong-willed, and I admire that about her. But she said, I don't know how submissive I was. But she told our class, girls, I'll never forget her saying this. I have learned in all these years of marriage, there is safety in submission. I'll never forget her saying, I have learned that there's safety in submission. Dear ladies, you have to rank under. It doesn't mean that you're not as smart as your husband. It has nothing to do with intelligence. I believe that most men have married a lady that's smarter than he is. And all God's men said, amen. Really, it's the truth. Women think out of both sides of their brain at the same time. Men are one-sided. But women can think, that's why she can cook and shut the oven with her foot and change a diaper over here and put vegetables in over here and do it all at the same time. I can't do that. When my wife broke her, I tried to make food for us. And this church is so good bringing food in every night. But when that ran out, I tried to make food. I can't get it all organized. I mean, I get the vegetable and put it in the microwave or put it on the stove and I get it going. But you got to get that right, and then you got to get the meat right, and then you got to get the potato right. And I could not get it right. I mean, you know, my idea, Brother Raisley, of eating a meal is you do the beans and the peas or whatever you do. You get that, go eat it. Then you go back and you get the meat and you do that. Then you eat that. Then you get the potato and you eat that. And then you finally have some dessert. That's the way I do it. But a lady could think out of both. I gave my wife our finances for 2 years, 1981, 82, and 83. We were building our building over there. I lived in work clothes. And I did all the preaching. But I lived in work clothes every day of my life. And I didn't have time for the finances. I said, Cindy, now you're going to have to run this. And here's how you do it. Well, you know, after 2 years, we were in better shape than when I did it. You know, a woman is so sharp. Most of you men have married way out of your league. Most of you men have married way out of your league. Say it again. God says, Lord, but ladies, though you're smarter than us, most of you are. Though you have abilities that most of us don't have, you still have to rank under. You still have to come to a point where I want that man to lead me. I want that man to guide me. Sir, your job is to guide your home spiritually. That's not your wife's job. That's your job. You guide your home spiritually, reading the Bible, praying together. Amen. Every single night with your life, with your family. Your job is to lead the family financially, putting your house in order. At the same time, your wife ought to know every single item about your finances. I could die tonight. My wife and Tabitha both and Chris, they know exactly where to go to find my PIN numbers, to find my credit cards, to find my Social Security, to find what I want done at my funeral, to find every single thing in life. I can recall about during COVID, organizing all my office, organizing all the books and putting tags on the books. And this section is this, and this section is this, and this section is this. And I organized all the will and our trust and everything that we have in life. And then I called Chris and Tabitha in. I said, I want to go over this with you. I didn't realize it'd be such a hard thing to do. They're in Southern California, so they don't know this. I walked out 2 times. And I went to the other room and wept, just thinking about that one day he's going to have to go through all this. And I said, when I die, here's the key to the file cabinet. And here's where all the paperwork is right here. Everything you need to know in life. Everything that I'm worth, everything. And I want you to know where all this is. You know, there's, fellas, your wife, your wife deserves to know your PIN number for your account. Your wife deserves to take your phone and look at it. She has a right. She has a right to know what you're worth. She has a right to know what you're not worth. She has a right to know what bills you have. What if you die tonight? What is she going to do? Can she even get in the accounts? Do you have life insurance? What do you have? Are you spending? Look, fellas, your job is finances, yes. Your job is spiritual. But make sure that she knows what's going on. Look what the Bible says in chapter 3. Even so, the book deals with it, even so must the wives, this is deacons' wives, be grave, not slanderous, sober, very serious, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. Look what the Bible says in chapter 5. We're almost done. You're listening so well tonight. Verse 11, the younger widows refuse. What's she talking about? They had a club for widow ladies, and they cared for the widow ladies of the church. But the Bible says, let the younger women refuse, the younger widows refuse. For when they've begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Doesn't mean you cannot marry. It just simply means that you've got to be careful about this. Withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things that they not. I will therefore, younger women, marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after sin. If any man or woman believeth they have widows, let them relieve them, not let the church be charged, that they may relieve them that are widows indeed. I think of you dear ladies that have, you've lost your husband. I think so often of Shirley. And God in his providence brought Tony into her life. Tony, you know I mean this. I'd love to be his pastor. He is a great man of God. So it doesn't mean you can't marry again. But you're going to have to be very careful. And God brought into your life, surely, a man of God. You've lived with two men of God. And Tony, you've lived with two women of God. It's an amazing thing. And God did that. Look what he says in 1 Peter, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation, the behavior of the wives. Ladies, your husband's lost. He ought to come to know Christ as a Savior because of your behavior. Ladies, don't be the boss. Don't be so dominant. Don't put your husband in a position where he is an idiot. He knows nothing in life. God's word says that's not what you want to do. In verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation, your behavior coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning, the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart is your husband. It's not Jesus, it's your husband. I recall when John Rice passed away in 1979, 1980, New Year's night, And I remember that night, and then I remember that years later, we had Mrs. John R. Rice come, and Jack Hiles was preaching, and he preached on this subject, and he said, I've watched Mrs. John Rice. And you can be preaching, and she's a very good listener, but you start talking about Dr. John, and she just straightens up. That's been because he's hidden in her heart. He had been long gone, but he was hidden. Is your husband hidden in your heart, dear ladies? Is he hidden in your heart? When he goes off to work tomorrow morning, do you pray for him? Do you pray that as he faces the world, the flesh, the devil himself, are you praying for your husband? Are you praying that God would protect him? Protect his mind, his eyes, his ears, his mouth, his hands. You see, in a crowd this size, there are people that are living dual lives. And how important, dear ladies, it is that you see verse number 3, that it ought to be, verse 4, the hidden man in the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. For after the manner of old time, holy women, first all who trusted in God ordained themselves, or adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands. Likewise, even Sarah obeyed Abraham. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. In closing tonight, as we read Romans 16, that's the last chapter in Romans, and the last chapter, Paul is giving a list of all the men that helped him. But isn't it amazing? In that chapter, he lists 8 women. He said, don't forget Priscilla. She's been a helper of mine. And he lists 8 women that helped him in the ministry. Women, you are so very important. You keep the steadiness in the marriage. You keep the steadiness in the home. You keep the steadiness in yourself. We are living in a day of the women's lib movement. The women's lib, it started in the 60s, but really, when my wife and I got married in 1970, 72, it really began to grow. And the women's lib movement, they talked about ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment. They couldn't get it through, but they tried to get it through. I'd like to ask the ladies of the ERA, I'd like to ask the feminist women, where are they with boys and men playing women's sports? Brother Doug, where are the women that want to be equal, but now they're not, see, that was just a phony baloney. That ERA is just a bunch of fake. It's a bunch of misfits. Did you see this last week, the Democrat Party? Did you see those women? They're not ordained. They look like they're witches. They look evil. Hold on, folks. They look evil. They look wicked. There was no humility of heart. There's no submission of heart at all. They sat there, and then they made a video where they're jumping in and boxing people. I thought, what dignity? This is no dignity. They're coming in and act like they're fighting Trump and all of that. See, that's a hoax. It wasn't they wanted equal rights, they want all the rights. God's word makes it very clear. Proverbs chapter 31, a virtuous woman, her price is far above treasure. I'd say number one, ladies, embrace your position. You're a woman, embrace it. I'd say secondly tonight, identify your position with the Bible. Make your Bible your authority. I'd say thirdly, don't let anyone take that position away from you. And I'd say to the men, number 4, let's embrace and support every woman in this church that she would be able to be created into the image that God would have her to become. It's a sad day in which we live in. Turn with me in closing to the book of the Gospel of John, John 19. As you turn to John 19 tonight, I want you to see in John 19 in closing, Jesus is now on the cross dying for our sin. And isn't it amazing what he says in chapter 19, verse 25? Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his, what is it?
Mother.
And his mother's
sister.
And Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And he saith to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took him into his own home. Keep your Bible open there. Here is the last utterance from the cross, and Jesus is speaking to these women. There were women at the cross. Turn with me, if you will, to chapter number 20. Chapter 20. Look at chapter 20. In the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early in the morning while it was yet dark to the sepulchre to see the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and saith unto them, They have taken away our Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they laid him. Peter therefore went forth and the other disciple that came to the sepulchre. And so they ran together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter. At first came to the sepulchre. Stooping down, he looked in and saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him. And he went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. By the way, that verse right there tells us history with the Jews when someone was going to come back. They'd always wrap the napkin and place it by itself because he said, I'm coming back. And Jesus was now saying, I'm coming back. And the Bible says in verse number eight, then went he into the other disciple, first to the sepulchre, they saw it and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must die and raise from the dead. The disciples went away into their own home, but Mary stood without the sepulchre weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre and seeth two angels white sitting in one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because you've taken away my Lord, and I know not where you've laid him. And when he had thus said, he turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not it was Jesus. And Jesus said, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. And she turned herself around and saith unto him, Rabbi, which to say, Master. The first one at the tomb there was a woman. The last ones at the cross was a woman. I owe the women of this church so very much. For 49 years, you've been faithful, ladies. You've run the buses as bus captains. You've been involved in prayer. You've taught Sunday school classes. You served the Lord cleaning these buildings, all the buildings. You sacrificed financially. I thank God for women tonight. A mark of a mighty church. Yes, it's sound doctrine. Yes, it's prayer. But it's godly women.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.